Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 167, the reunion special. We have a guest visiting from out of town, and a couple original podcasters decided to come back to visit. Special occasion. They must have very important things to talk about.
We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Sean's here. Sean from San Francisco, who was the impetus of the podcast. I don't know if you remember, but there was.
I did not know that.
It was one night. It was right after I.
What? Oh, a different night.
No. It was one night where I just extended the hours to 8. And Sean was here, and we were just sitting talking. There were no customers whatsoever. And we sat and we talked for literally an hour. Just he was asking questions about the business, you know, how's this selling? What's going on here? And it was just a really good conversation. We're like, man, we should have recorded that. So then I went, well, contacted a friend of mine and said, hey, what do I need to do this? And he said, well, here, you know, sent me a link to this recorder, and I ordered it. And
I think I had shared with you, too, that when I was working in Greensboro,
yeah, that they did one there.
On Wednesday nights, I used to go to Acme Comics with Jermaine and that crew, and was invited to participate in their podcast.
It all flowed from there, and we've done this now 161 times.
It's been all downhill from there.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, what you going to do? But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Joe F.
What?
Dave.
Back.
F. Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
Gorilla Bob.
Sean Wheatley.
We let him out.
And we'll start with Pat.
Okay, a lot of news this week. The Batman versus Superman trailer was released.
Oh, I think people can hear me just fine. That's never been an issue. But in case you couldn't, the Batman versus Superman trailer was released. First as a bootleg, and then
quickly
it was kind of someone pulled a Marvel on them, and so they decided to release the full thing. It wasn't a whole lot of footage in it. It was mostly kind of exposition shots and, you know, can you bleed? You will. That was...
I heard the one, because they still did their IMAX event on Monday.
Yeah.
I heard that still had a couple seconds more in that trailer.
Okay.
Like you, I think they said you saw Batman and Superman running in each other. Whether they fight or embrace, we don't know. But.
Whoa!
We have no idea.
I did know that's what versus meant. But, okay.
It's not an IMAX.
It's the Dawn of Justice. They're going to have a child.
Oh, okay.
Are we doing the lead into Iceman news?
Apparently so.
Segway.
Yeah.
Minute 4 off the rails. Awesome.
Amazing.
So some things never change around here.
No. Well, we can talk about that. Iceman was, I guess, outed today. Iceman was talking to Jean Grey, and she told him he was gay, and he realized it, apparently. But it's only the young Iceman, not the regular 616 older version of Iceman, at least not yet. I guess they'll have to deal with that one way or another at some point to figure out why the young one's gay but the older one isn't, because they've already had the issue where young Scott almost got killed and older Scott kind of disappeared for a second.
So are they saying that, like, he hasn't embraced like that until this Jean was able to go in and find it?
Oh, Adam, I think that's going to be explained in the follow-up miniseries, The Fabulous X-Men.
Well, 2 minutes and 30 seconds even further off the rail. Well,
that was only available in San Francisco. But okay, but here's the bit better question. So when does this stop being a topic about comics, right? So we've already had the wedding.
Yeah.
We can go back to North Star, right? So, and even in I don't want to say popular culture, just life. This isn't so much an issue anymore. Or is it? I know I live in San Francisco, so, you know, my view might be a little...
It's definitely different than the normal Western Pennsylvania view.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But no, here's the thing. I think this is kind of an issue because you have a character that's been around for 40-plus years, has never been gay, but now all of a sudden, let's make him gay. And it's not a kind of periphery character. This was one of the main X-Men. He's one of the original X-Men. Right. You know, he was on Spider-Man and The Amazing Friends. This is not someone that we didn't know about. He was in every one of the X-Men movies. And that behavior had never been shown, and now, I mean, they've kind of jokingly hinted at it and things like that in comics, but now they're just going to come out and say he's gay, and I think that's why it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, but it's also Marvel, you know, 6 months from now, they may forget this whole thing. You have Secret Wars coming up, when the two pizzas collide, maybe gay Bobby falls off.
Wow. I mean, I get why they would take a bigger character from their lineup and
is that we're calling him now, Gay Bobby?
You're cracking up, Dave. Because it's more impact on having some brand new character come in and be gay.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't understand why they would pick a character where they have two versions currently in the main you know, X-Men books.
Where it seems like it would complicate things.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
if you would have thought ahead, you would have said...
And then specifically...
Like, how is X-Men not complicated? Yeah. Can you guys remind me of that time?
But I think the reason it's a big deal is because
even back when Stan was doing it, it was.
If your friend comes over and you find out he's gay, it's like, yeah, whatever. But in popular culture, it's still kind of like introducing diversity is still a big deal. Like, I mean, we took Nick Fury, who had been around forever, and we made him black. Now we took Iceman and we made him gay. So I think it's just a big deal because we're introducing diversity into mainstream pop culture.
What are they going to do with the Hulk?
Purple.
Transgender.
This
he becomes body female back, when he changes. He's going to start wearing a shirt.
So he'll be Shulk?
Cloosh.
Cloosh.
Now, Sean, were you saying, like, what is kind of their reasoning behind, like, why are they keep doing it?
Well,
like,
actually, in comics, you know, I'm almost like, I'll come out and say,
I'll
come out and say, I'm totally for it. Any excuse that any of the publishers can come up with to get people, anyone who hasn't or isn't currently reading comics to come into a store like Collins and pick up a book is a worthwhile endeavor. Matt and I were talking a little bit about this. There's some other podcasts out there that talk about numbers and such, and I was telling Matt, I said, you know, one of the things I while I appreciate that information, I like it just because I'm a geek, you know, I like to know the rankings, there's kind of an underlying subtext in that podcast around, you know, here are some things we could do to bring back print comics, and that's always there, and I'm almost to the, like now I'm to the point where I don't know that that's ever going to come, and I think of it almost as analogous to vinyl. Right?
Yeah.
So vinyl took a huge hit when digital came out, but it's kind of come back and plateaued off, and there's a viable market for that. There's still record stores out there. There's companies
that
print
open,
vinyl.
Which is interesting.
And rather than, you know, be mad at the movies because, you know, on opening weekend, more people will go see a movie than will buy we'll go see an Iron Man movie, and, you know, even if we got 1% of that to come buy an Iron Man comic, that would be the number one book for the month.
Right.
I think overall, if you look at the stories that are available with the characters that we love are still there. But the media is changing. And, you know, for folks like me, I still want the print. That's just me. I like it. I like coming in. I like this part of it. For me, comic books has a social component to it. But I have a 6-year-old daughter now.
Matt.
I have a 6-year-old daughter now, so
I'm Gorilla Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's really interesting to watch her. While she will go to the comic book store with me, she will pick up issues of My Little Pony and look at them and so forth. But she is really gravitating towards
to the digital,
not digital, but the animation stuff.
Okay,
and there's so much more of it. Like, it blows my mind. As a kid, I was like, I used to have to go upstairs and watch the Fantastic Four with Herbie.
Oh, yeah.
And in Albany, they didn't show it, so I had to, like, jerry-rig the antenna to get the fuzzy version coming in from Utica, New York. And now you can't, like, you know.
We got Cartoon Network, Cartoon Network has...
But it's on demand.
But they're telling quality stories. Colin, do you disagree? I mean,
you know,
Teen Titans Go is a kid's show, but I mean,
that's hilarious.
But those stories are awesome.
My problem, my kids don't watch any of that. They watch the live action Disney stuff, which is painful.
It's awful
to watch.
Okay, so yes, I have Jesse in rotation at the house.
Yes.
My
dog with a block.
Dog with a block. Yes.
So that
can
stuff.
Can a gorilla have a blog?
He's talking about
sure.
You can have a dog with a blog.
But, and I don't mind the dog with a blog part. I mind the parents being complete idiots. But other than
that. Well, that's, they are. I mean, that's yeah. realistic. Yeah. That's reality TV. Most parents are idiots.
These two are special.
But I love the Spider-Man cartoon kind of went, the Spider-Verse bled over into the TV. Not exactly, but enough so that even my daughter, hey, Daddy, isn't this what, like, wasn't this
Spider-Man Noir? The media's changing, though. The medias are changing. They're adapting as it goes. And it's a different art form, too. Like, everything like that. How they're drawing the Teen Titan characters.
So my point was, I was kind of like railing against, like, oh, you know, we need to keep the print. And, like, all this other stuff is diluting it. And now, like I said, 3 years later,
I don't think it dilutes it; it complements it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at now.
Yeah,
and as long as the characters are still out there and viable, and the stories are available, and you know, even on the television shows,
it makes them relevant.
You know, the quality is finally there now. In a lot of those shows, I watch The Flash with my daughter, and you know, she's like, "Daddy, Barry Allen's The Flash." I'm like, oh, "Get me right there." Yes, he is. Yes, he is, honey.
DC announced today their new product line for 2016 that's focused entirely on like female superheroes. And they're going to have like a tie-in with comic books, TV shows, interactive books, partnered up with Mattel for different, you know, action figures. Everything's supposed to be focused on like female superheroes and specifically like coming-of-age stuff and, you know, confidence building and just trying to really capture that whole female, like young female market.
So I'm assuming Batgirl is going to play a big role in that.
Yeah, they had the thing that Geoff Johns put out earlier today had about six or seven like of the bigger, you know, DC female heroes or female variants of heroes.
Okay.
But it sounds like they're making a huge push to try and build that market within the next year or so.
Well, you're speaking of the live action, so wasn't there even a crossover with whatever, Spider-Man, the Web Warriors, or whatever the version was, and Jessie. She appeared as an animated character in one of the episodes.
Okay.
So
I don't watch. I just, it's on in the background, and I
sure
cringe.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I take it as an opportunity to spend time with my daughter, so while I may not fully embrace the entertainment value, just the family time,
you can't
replace. And the fact that even...
Well, you're six. Mine are 13 and 10, so...
So, like, I'm hanging on to it as long as I can.
So what Colin's saying is he doesn't want to spend time with his
No.
They're annoying now.
That time has passed. Way.
You should have steered them towards the things that you like whenever they're
ready.
I tried, man.
Neither
you got him in wrestling, so...
Like Adele, my stepdaughter came here today, ran right over there, and... Because I started getting into the Teen Titans trades from Art Balthazar.
Well, my son was one when growing up in all this, but...
And she came in and, like, grabbed the next one and was like, oh,
you read SpongeBob.
He has him here.
You like SpongeBob.
He's doing something, though.
It's a quality book.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes that one, so...
But for me, as a what I consider myself a comic book guy, I mean, you saw what I was buying in comics last time around. And this is... Today was just more because, like, you're killing me with just content.
I'm sorry.
But on a regular basis, all I buy in print now is Spider-Man, Harley Quinn, and Batman.
Okay.
And a Morrison book. So right now...
Multiversity. Yeah. Last one next week. Sorry.
And that's it for print. No more trades. No
really?
More hardcovers. Well, you saw... Here was the other thing that you guys may not be aware of. So moving from the city to the suburbs... I was able to take, quote, my collection out of storage because now I had a room. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, hey, turn it into your comic room.
Did
so
you
I did. I did, and I was horrified. it was the 40-year-old virgin squared.
Uh-huh.
And not that I don't have a love for, like, every, like, I could pick a reason why I needed every one of the books, every item, every toy. I could tell you why. But... In totality, looking at it, and as I'm was hitting 50, I'm like, am I really going to go back and read Young Avengers Volume 3, Series 2, you know, ever again between now and Lights Out? No. So I started bundling things, and if I couldn't have a natural bundle, then I'd make stuff up. 9 pounds of Grant Morrison. So it would be a mix of floppies, soft covers, hard covers. And I was able to pull $4,500
out of my collection, and now my backyard is amazing. We have furniture, we have, and now my comic room is a place I can actually bring someone and not be embarrassed because it's overkill. So I kept the best stuff, of course, and got rid of the stuff I'm truly never going to go touch or look at again. And it was actually an awesome experience, because just going back on eBay, you know what you get to do? You get to touch every book again. You get to flip through it, because you have to catalog it or take a picture of it and weigh it for shipping and all that stuff. So it was almost like I had a chance to say goodbye to everything, too. I'm sorry, it sounds corny, but you know what? No, look, we're all adult guys that read about guys.
But none of that backfired on you that you were looking through it, and you were just like, now I got to keep this.
But I was surprised. Like, I had that slipcase of Usagi Yojimbo, the two volumes. And I think I pre-ordered it on DCB, whatever, because I paid 50%. I remember it cost me like $35 when I bought it. It went for $400 on eBay. It was crazy. Wow. And the other thing, you guys may not be, most of the high-dollar or high-ticket items that I had, the absolutes, the artist editions, I priced them very competitively, because I know you can go online and buy it brand new for half price, so, you know. Half price is no deal on eBay. But most of that stuff I ended up shipping over to Russia.
Really?
Wow.
I had a ton of overseas buyers, and all on the big ticket stuff.
Yeah, probably can't get them over there at all.
And maybe a lot of sellers don't want to bother.
I don't know, but I mean, I've traveled in Europe, and well, but that's primarily Western Europe, and I mean, everything's available for the most part, at least, you know, in the larger. Dublin, Barcelona, Frankfurt, you know, the larger cities. So I had a hard time believing that, you know, Diamond can't ship books to St. Petersburg.
You know? Yeah.
But who knows?
It was really interesting to see the...
Diamond barely gets shipping in the United States, let alone Europe. Like, come on.
So, but like I said, I also felt like it was my last opportunity because, again... Guys like us were aging out of this. What? So the only people that were going to buy that stuff on eBay were not... Kids weren't buying my stuff on eBay. Guys like me were buying my stuff on eBay.
Right.
So I think it was a great opportunity. And then we had talked about this in the beginning. I had taken the first Spider-Man run that I bought off the newsstand, spinner rack. Started with issue 95 and went to 151. So that's the drug issues, the 100, the death of Gwen Stacy, first Punisher issue... And I had them, I sent them away and had them bound into four hardcover editions, had them die cut covered and really done up nice. And those are the four books that I'm going to leave for my daughter. And everything else is just noise.
Hmm. What'd you do with the room?
Well, I'm not dead yet. I'm only 50.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. There's still stuff in there.
There's still some stuff in there. But
so is this full run of ROM.
Yeah. You know, it ended up being, you know what, the stuff I had before I started buying a ton of stuff, which was funny, I thought.
That's like when I started thinking of opening a store, when I'd go to shows and stuff, I was buying in bulk. It was, you know, fill a long box for $25, and I was buying for stock, so all of a sudden my collection became much more than a collection. Because when I started, I remember when I brought my books back from my mom's house, it was 9 boxes, and my wife was like, you ever think of opening a store? I'm like, with 9 boxes, are you crazy? So I started buying in bulk, and now I have 6 boxes left.
And then little did you know that the whole business would change, that now you have to have everything new, and the old stuff isn't as... do you do a lot of back issues here?
It's picked up, but not a ton. I mean, certain characters, Spider-Man, X-Men, and Batman sell all the time. The other stuff, not so much. And you know,
it's all available...
Or they just don't know about it. You know, New Teen Titans has no interest right now.
A lot
There's
of the
no
stuff is
buzz.
If it's relevant, like, out there with people, that they'll come in and get it, right?
Yeah, and then you get stuff like, I sold, like, 3 copies of the Green Lantern issue with the girlfriend in the refrigerator because it was in the back of the Green Lantern Parallax.
Really?
That had that panel. So all of a sudden that got people, oh, well, I want to see what that was about. So anything... I mean, that's one neat thing about Convergence, is it is the throwback stuff, so it might cause some more interest in the older stuff that might not necessarily be in a trade, because, like, that isn't. You know, the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern stuff isn't really
collected. That's where it's not really, like, DC's mission to do something like that, but that's more, it works for you as a retailer more. But DC isn't trying to, like, bring in interest. You don't.
I don't.
Right?
Not specifically.
I wouldn't think.
No.
Like, what would that do for them exactly?
No, because they're not making anything off back issues anyway. So don't.
That's interesting that they'll do that.
But
yeah,
they get some digital sales. But don't you get to revisit?
Yeah if it's available for digital.
Speaking of DC and retailers, how are they treating you lately, Colin?
So moving
we're
on.
We're not going there. Pre-order your DCs. They might not be any on the show.
You guys missed my segues, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, no. We,
he knew that. He heard it.
Today, I just picked up 1-3, so I mean, you don't need to spoil it, but I'm hoping that they it was hinted at in some of the limited stuff I read. I'm hoping they go back to the Batman Flashpoint stuff in here somewhere.
It'll be the somewhere. The first, probably in the Superman book.
Yeah, it was
in the second
the
half of the Superman.
Week, yeah, the Superman, he...
There was another one that was out that week.
That was my favorite story of all.
Well, no,
of the
there was yeah
stuff.
There was three though because the it wasn't Aquaman.
Aquaman was
no, but it
no,
was,
it was
Justice
League.
League yeah, Justice League dealt with the Aquaman stuff, and Flash or Speed Force dealt with Wonder Woman.
What?
I don't know. I just felt like that Flash. Yeah. Like, that was the first Batman story that I read that I'd never read anywhere
else. Well,
it
was neat. In the Superman one, it was them, like, all of a sudden he was confronted by the little scrawny Superman.
Okay.
And Green Lantern and Cyborg were taking him. But you saw Batman in the background going, wait a minute, there's a Superman. There's a different Superman. Maybe Bruce is here. And you saw him kind of step away from the others. And it's like, it. Got you. And then there was a cover for number 2, which you thought it was, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
That's pre-Flashpoint Batman and Earth 2,
Earth
Batman,
2 Batman,
which isn't the same as Flashpoint Batman. Similar,
not
but not quite.
It's still
the same.
Thomas Wayne, but it's
but with
different, a very different Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
I think it would have had a better feeling, though, if it was the other way for a lot of readers.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, keep an eye. The Superman one, hopefully, will have.
Those
some payoff there.
Died,
the Justice League was neat, but... with Aquaman... Seeing Mira, knowing that since Mira was killed by Wonder Woman in Flashpoint, knowing it wasn't his Mira, but it was still a Mira, and going after her. That was interesting.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
There's some, interesting.
And the little Superman heard Lois, so he was going after Lois. He was trying to find Lois.
What's that say about
Lois? Yeah, it was good.
I know what I'll be reading on the plane tomorrow.
I know we'll be talking about that with books, but like I'm enjoying the tie-ins
more
than I am
book.
Actually the main series.
Yeah,
like the tie-ins are really
the main
fun.
Series.
But the main series is kind of.
I'm still confused.
It might
yeah, because
up,
there's no pressure on the tie-ins, right? As long as there's because we've seen in the past where they'll put the whole tie-in in and it's one panel, three quarters through the book.
Yeah,
so. Like you're saying, if it's a satisfying read and it gives you something there, I mean, like that's.
So I think if your tie-ins do better than the main, it might be better off for you, though, if you think about it, because you're putting out more tie-ins out there than you're putting in the main series. So.
I'm just confused why they didn't put someone with comics writing experience on the main book. Because I think this is his first comic.
Yeah, that's
see, he writes for TV.
Who's writing it?
I love Dell.
Jeff King. He writes for White Collar on USA and some other show.
Hmm.
So I Scott Liddell was helping.
I thought he just did the zero or the one. He did the one. John's
but
did
he also
the zero.
Comes back in for I think the last one as well.
Oh, does he? Okay.
I think that was.
How is that? How do the writers work on that type of book? Is it like one is the main writer, then all the rest are like more consultants? Like.
Well, I think just Liddell was helping him on
so
plotting.
Anybody under? Yeah.
Not
so
on,
that's. And then the ones the main, like, he's actually writing.
But then, like, a book...
the other one's helping with plotting the story.
A book like Detective, where you have Manapul and Buccioletto both as writers.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. If they both...
Yeah, I don't know how
maybe they both come up with the story, and then one of them does the script.
One of them kind of just writes the script. They both kind of plot it out, brainstorm
I mean... the stories are constructed differently in a comic book and on TV. So TV is set up for false suspense or false danger at certain points, and those points in a television story don't match where they would go in a comic book. And I think we've seen that in the past where TV writers were just hired, hey, come in and write a comic, and just left alone. That didn't always work so well.
They were doing that a lot when they did Made a Lost. Like, well, they pulled a lot of comic book
writers. I was going to say, wasn't Brian K. Vaughan?
Kevin Smith!
Kevin Smith writes decent stories. It just takes him 5 years to finish six issues.
You know, according to what Marvel
says, but the
beats
and things are not. Yeah, they're not comic book stories. Yeah. They're movies translated into
comic book
into comic books, almost like storybooks.
I was giving someone a chance, but when all your other books are on hiatus for 2 months, and
it's a bad
this
time.
Is the weekly book, the main thing. Don't give an unproven
somebody
variable.
Like that.
Yeah.
What's your the thing about Kevin Smith, which is like he did help in a way, like according to what Quesada says, that he helped when they did the Marvel Knights run because of his name, not so much about how he wrote. So
that's more stunt than
more of a stunt. No, it helped Marvel because Marvel wasn't doing very well at that time. But yeah, I agree with you on that. That's
and like I said, I'm not ding. I mean. I can't write a movie.
It's a different, well, it's a different,
it's a different
of
type of storytelling.
Not necessarily how that he's bad at what he did. It's just different. It's a different feeling and a different way of writing it. It's,
something that might work in this guy's favor, being an unknown, is that a line wide book where Convergence, the main miniseries, is the backbone of an entire line. It may be more driven from the editors, and they may be giving him something more thoroughly constructed than what they'd give a typical event writer. Like Grant Morrison, he'd want to do everything his own way. This guy may be willing to take orders.
Yeah, and you're probably right about that. And I didn't read World's End at all, but it feels like Convergence is a direct continuation of World's End.
Kind of, yeah. It's a little bit of all of it, but yeah, that's
it's
the
mostly
most.
Similar.
Yeah, it's mostly.
So with that, I don't understand why, maybe not just someone from that book, since it's completely like going.
It's actually, I wouldn't call it like a direct sequel. I'd say it's more of like,
even like the
what
interview.
Happened to these guys. But that's kind of what it is, because everybody kind of split the
but
two.
Here's the thing, I even just read an interview with the writer of Convergence, and he even said in the interview that this is a direct continuation.
It's a direct continuation.
But that's always the formula, right?
Yeah.
You have the big event that's going to change everything. And then
it's another event that's
followed by the fallout of the big event that changed everything, and then.
Then the prelude to the next event. Yeah,
and it just
you can write for Marvel now.
How are you at taking editorial direction?
Yeah, I'm not good at taking direction
at anybody.
Such a short-lived career you had.
Yeah, I know. It didn't even last 30 seconds.
We hardly knew him.
Pat's news.
Yeah, next, Star Wars released a trailer as well. This was the second trailer. It had a lot more footage, and you finally got to see some old favorites and not just the new cast.
Did you cry, Pat?
I didn't cry, but I.
Did you chills?
I did.
I cried, Adam. I cried.
Did you cry?
Yes, I did.
I did.
Dave's man enough to say you cried, Pat.
Well, I didn't cry.
All right, Pat.
But I did get chills.
Okay.
So
I got chills. They're multiplying.
This really is an Iceman specific.
Careful, I'll break out the jazz hands. Matt just moved 4 feet away.
And then, okay, so moving on from the Star Wars trailer into comic news is Lando Calrissian's getting an ongoing series.
Ooh.
Is he in the new movie?
Who knows?
I don't think he is.
I thought they said he...
Does he want to be in the new movie?
I thought it was everybody but Carrie Fisher.
No, she's in it.
No, she's in it. Maybe it's everybody but Lando.
Yeah, and
remember they took a big picture of a group?
He wasn't.
No, I don't think he was in it.
Groot wasn't in it? No.
I thought they announced that Lando was going to be having some big cameo.
Maybe he'll be like the stinger at the end of the movie. But that's what they call the...
Stone Cold is going to be in this?
Yeah,
what?
I said stinger, not stunner.
Oh.
That's what they call the end scene at the end of the movie.
I love it when I learn stuff on
a podcast.
I did not know that.
Yeah. In real time, no less.
There you go.
You learn things on Pat's news.
Sometimes. Daredevil's getting a second season.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Shocking.
That was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, they had to reformulate. Isn't that what they said?
Well, no,
that wasn't their plan.
It's a new showrunner. I guess the guy that produced the first season is doing some other things. They were associate producers, I think, on the first season are going to be taken over. So they're confident that they'll kind of get the tone right. Did you ever watch the end of that, Colin?
Yeah. Daredevil?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the end.
Yeah,
yet,
where he died at the end. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Season two.
Spoiler alert. Oh, wow. All right. Okay.
Daredevil's a zombie.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Yeah. It's the beginning of the Marvel
zombies.
Well, I'm waiting for Luke Cage Power Man. Is that what that's, you want? That's the one I want
to see. Is he gonna wear a tiara?
You can't say.
Who cares?
Lando's gonna be in a sequel to Episode 7, but not in Episode 7.
Okay. Yeah, that's where he shows up with a supply ship full of Colt 45.
Somebody had this idea.
Works every time.
Exactly. No doubt.
And the Fantastic Four had a trailer come out.
Okay, what did everybody think of that?
It was better than the first trailer.
I agree.
I agree it was better than the first trailer, but it's...
It's still up in the air.
I feel like the first trailer was a bad trailer. This trailer was just... It wasn't exciting, but... I honestly didn't think the Batman trailer was that exciting either, so...
Is this still with the diverse, non-related Fantastic Four?
They're related.
Yeah, they're related.
Well, they're step-brother and sister.
Are they?
Or adopted brother and
Colin,
sister.
Did you
they're
see
not,
that
I think
trailer?
Sue is yeah. I think Sue
did
is
you
adopted.
See who their dad was?
Yeah, yeah, he makes good ribs.
Yeah, from House of Cards.
So, for me, I'm like, well, then it's not, you know, that's not a fan... It might be a great story, worth telling, but it's not the Fantastic Four, so I don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just me. I haven't paid attention to the movie, the trailers, any of that stuff. Once I heard that it is not Ben Grimm, Reed Richards, you know, Sue Richards, Johnny Storm.
It's them, but it's not like
it's them, but it's not them from the comic book. It's
and I'm not mad because they're not all white or not all this.
It's just not what you're used
to. It's not. I mean, the Fantastic Four works because...
It's the movie studio trying to force diversity. And it ruins it for traditional fans.
I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I don't think the diversity issue is making a difference one way or the other.
I just don't like the fact that it's more supposed to be grounded, that they're trying to ground the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, of all the books.
When the Fantastic Four should be the complete opposite of that, should be about big ideas and traveling into the negative zone
exactly.
and all that stuff.
Exactly. Right. Bigger than
big,
the page.
Crazy curvy machinery. That's what the Fantastic Four is to me. There you go. See ya. Theaters.
Probably. Like I'm curious about it.
I think that's where I'm at. Like I was at a point where I was just when they first talked about it, I was like, I don't really want to see it.
If they made the Guardians of the Galaxy work, come on.
Yeah. Right. You know, but it's a different studio.
It'll be
a way
the super reviews are. Yeah,
but the point being, here's a property that, for the most part, other than us, nobody knows or really cares about. And they didn't rework that. They didn't call Guardians of the Galaxy New Avengers.
No.
Or, you know, try to put a different wrapper.
Because
on
it was a new kind of idea. It wasn't necessarily the Guardians of the Galaxies either.
Well, like
it was a version.
It was the Abbott run.
I mean, there were a few changes even from that.
Here's the thing with the Fantastic Four: they've already had two movies that didn't really come out that long ago
because they never left Earth. They never left Earth. It was always Doctor Doom. It was always
and Galactus was a cloud.
Yeah.
And the Silver Surfer was still trapped down there.
Well, here's the thing. Like, what I saw from this trailer is that they were more going for the ultimate idea of that. The ultimate idea of Fantastic Four was that Reed was trying to get to another dimension. Now, the other dimension was the negative zone. Now, they end up in the negative zone, or they don't end up necessarily in the negative zone, I don't think, but that's what gives them their cosmic powers, okay, including Doom. So that's what it looked like, because they even had the structure. It was like a pyramid-type device. It was ultimate. So that's where they're going for their script, but
which is the theme for all these movies.
Yeah, it's very ultimate. I mean, even Avengers, if you go to Avengers, it was the ultimate team. Not as dark as the ultimate characters were, but... But that seems like the direction they're going with this idea. So, I don't know. I mean...
The Thing looks better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Than the other movies.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He was very... It was kind of funny because as he's getting up from the table, it's almost like his rocks are developing as he's getting up.
Yeah, it looks very organic.
Yeah, very, very good. Like, it looked... I'm going to give it a try just to see. I mean, I might not like it, but I give them all, like, at least a try except for Spider-Man. I don't know. I didn't think it looked horrible. And the only thing that they're not giving us enough of is Doom. Like, and I think that's bothering people.
Especially because it seems like Doom is the character they're changing the most.
Yeah, we get enough information that they're changing Doom to be this, and he's a hacker, and he's this and that, but then they're not showing us
anything. I almost wish they didn't tell us
how is it going to work? Yeah. If they didn't tell us that, it might have helped them, because then you could have introduced the character how you wanted, and then there would have been an idea in anybody's head about what they were watching. They would have just accepted or not accepted what they were watching. But you gave it to them early on, and they've already dismissed it before the movie's been even made. You know, don't do that. Why put yourself in that? So, but I'll give it. Like, I liked enough of what I saw to go see it, I think. And it's better now than it was without seeing, like, the first trailer or whatever they had. But I hate teasers. Like, I'm not big on teasers because it's always image, you know, movie. And I'm just like, okay, what did I just see? You know? Teasers, but when I get a trailer, as long as it doesn't over-explain, like, we're having trouble with Avengers, that it's telling us basically the movie before we go and see it, that's a problem. But if it's enough to get you interested, then that's why I like a trailer.
Teasers rarely help the movie. I mean, look at the Star Wars teaser that came out. Everyone hated it for the most part. But then the trailer comes out and everyone's talking about, I was crying.
Well, that
was
even a trailer. That was the second teaser.
Yeah. Like, it was just such a huge difference between opinions on those.
But we've seen, like, I think it's now that we've seen both, it made, like, a little more bigger sense of a trailer. You know? Mm-hmm. But,
well, again, that's only going to impact a portion of the audience.
Yeah.
You know, the world at large doesn't really follow, when the trailers are coming out and how closely that's going to match.
And, I think we're all safe for not paying attention.
Yeah.
I think they do more now because they make it almost like events. They have commercials on TV saying,
In 3 days, you'll get the trailer. Yeah, they got teasers for the teasers and the little Ant-Man-sized teasers.
I'm still trying to figure out who goes to an IMAX to go see a trailer.
Apparently, a lot of people did.
Well, yeah. I was watching the live stream last week of Star Wars Celebration, and they brought everybody out. This is all the leading up to the trailer, and then they said, okay, now we're going to show you something else. You know, the trailer, and it just went blank, and I went out. And the live stream cut out. I had to wait like 5 minutes until it got on. Finally got online, but they didn't show it.
A whole 5 minutes?
Yeah.
But how awesome is the world that we're complaining about the third Fantastic Four movie?
Yeah.
I can't think of a single property that would get me to go to an IMAX for a 15-minute event just to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
I can, but I can't repeat it here.
You
with me, Matt?
What we were talking about with Fantastic Four movies.
Go see an IMAX
I didn't really have a problem with that first Fantastic Four movie as much as I did with the second one.
The first one wasn't terrible.
I think what the first one was, it was a little too campy sometimes. The original Fantastic Four movie.
The strengths of that were,
they didn't really leave Earth though. They kind of were still in Earth's like atmosphere floating around.
Worked and parts of it didn't. Like with Chris Evans and Michael Chiklis, like their banter.
That was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, that was great. They picked a horrible actor to be Doom. They picked a horrible actor to be Reed Richards.
I didn't understand Doom because it was just like, okay, now he has like a metal like exoskeleton or something, and then he has to wear a mask over top of that. And it's just like, what is this guy? He shoots lightning bolts.
Let's do a full review of a 10-year-old.
Right. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it, but like, hopefully what they messed up with that. And sometimes I don't think they do. I think they just find new issues.
New ways to screw it up.
New ways to screw it up more. So.
Well, that's all I got for news, Colin.
He's like, I ain't news, now Colin.
What's your news?
What's your news, Colin?
No, I don't have any news.
Colin's news.
How was Free Comic Book Day here?
Well, it's in 10 days, so I don't know.
Last year, I wasn't here.
Last year, it was huge. Last year was ginormous.
Wait, which one was the last one you were
But
here
was
for?
Smooth.
How are the last previous
three? And I even have a better plan for this year. So.
What?
Slightly better. Well, I just ordered
any of us in here.
He's going to
He's just standing on the other side of the glass like, did you order extra large costumes for all your helpers?
No, I didn't, Matt.
Then I'm not
Do you want one?
What was it?
I'm sorry, Gorilla Bob.
extra large Black Widow costumes for all the helpers.
Just because one customer ordered that once, you just can't get over that.
You never can't get over that you sent me to the bathroom to get it without warning.
Just get it. He didn't say try it on. That was your fault. You took the initiative there.
No, but last year I added the second cash register to try to smooth things up, and I think it helped the line tremendously.
Because you were halfway, like, you could go and sit for a little bit.
To make it go faster this year, is everything free?
No.
Oh.
Nice try.
It should be.
But what I just ordered a square, so I'll be able to do credit cards at the other second register as well.
People sign with their fingers with
fancy
things.
Yep, I figured I'll do it through my iPad Mini, so it will be easier to sign.
Did you implement Apple Pay?
No. I don't get that. I haven't checked, but the problem is you'd have to get a new machine, which is going to be X amount of dollars. So
it's like one of the things they have.
You're going to have to get a new machine next year anyway.
Right, but... the credit card, right, but the one with the Apple Pay, I'm sure, is even a good bit more than that.
Same chip.
But it's the one you plug in, the other one you just hold near.
The ones that you're regulated are going to be the tap.
Oh, are they? Okay. Mm-hmm. But, okay. Well, it's that if it comes to that. But right now, no, I'm not getting anything new until I have to. Because, you know, I know you got to spend money to make money, but I give the credit card companies enough money.
Because if you're
silly. I'm not a big fan of having to buy a new machine. To give them more money.
You're not giving it to the man.
Matt and I were talking earlier about aging.
Who's this Matt person?
About aging Agent Carter.
Like, I'm not doing
it. Yeah, I never finished it.
I did. Enjoying it. I really enjoyed it. I can't. What was the Avengers series that had Dominic Forge?
Avengers 49 or.
Oh, 1959.
Yeah. So I loved that series. I thought that was kind of underappreciated.
Was that Shaken?
Yeah,
Chicken did some of the art.
But I thought that was a really underappreciated book. So when Agent Carter came out, to me, that was huge.
Well, that was 1949. But Avengers 1949. Yeah.
But it was still kind of in that space with Howard Stark. And
did you like the Cap movie that came from that decade? The first Cap movie?
No, not a big fan
of
the first.
So it didn't really affect you? Because I know a lot of people, they like that first movie, and that's why they kind of
I like the second Cap movie much better.
Well, yeah, the second one was better.
Oh, it was one of the best storylines for Cap ever written.
Yeah.
I thought that was the Avengers 2 movie. But
it felt like it.
But it was awesome.
Everybody looks at me as it fizzles to nothing. It's like I'm supposed to jump in and go, well.
You're dead at the table. What is it used to say? Dead air? Dead air?
That's what we called you? What?
That's what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Poor Adam. Leave Adam alone.
Well, I notice as I look around the store, I notice not that you never had the stuff, but I'm noticing much more ancillary items to the periodicals, shall we say.
Well, I mean, I've always had the statues.
I know you've always had some stuff, but there seems to be a...
Yeah.
And you're selling Dockers, too.
Got a point.
Man,
out.
They
point
just, that they're out. Mean. No, a lot of that stuff, and it's not just
on the other side. It says Dockers. Yeah.
These were Sears shoe racks. So,
yeah, they were Sears Dockers racks.
Well, but
when you find that nerve with Colin, you just have to make sure you
keep digging in at it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what about Dockers?
You got me excited because I thought you were talking about technology already.
Yeah, was Dockers.
Yeah. Their shoes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I'm a technology store.
What? You have a podcast? You have a website?
No, right. But I'm just saying, I don't...
We're lucky this place has electricity.
What I sell is definitely not technology. It's as far from technology as can be.
I know there's not that direct bump, like when a Marvel movie comes out, your sales go up here.
No,
now that there's so much content consistently, has that made an impact overall?
Not so much. I mean, a lot of the stuff, like the pops, you sell, you know, things like Firefly.
But is that your regular customer base now asking for this stuff, or is it bringing in any kind of
Not seeing a bunch new in for that, but I do, I mean, I'm always seeing new customers.
I would imagine the TV shows probably help more than the movies do.
Flash has been huge. Sell a ton of Flash stuff. Back issues, trades, not so much with Arrow, but a lot more with Flash.
What about iZombie? That's more of
I haven't
unknown.
Seen much bump. You know, I've sold a couple trades, but nothing.
You were doing well
not
with
a whole
Hellblazer,
lot.
Weren't you? For a little bit? certain people would.
Yeah, Hellblazer did well when that show, because people wanted to know what it was. And the fun part with that was where if you grab that first trade, that very first issue was an episode. It wasn't the first one, but it was one of the episodes. So there was a connection, and you could see that. So,
how's Daredevil doing?
Daredevil's doing well. Cause,
I mean, you two alone bought...
Yeah, bought half my
stock.
Except
for probably...
I bought those Reverse Flash... issues that run from you prior to the series coming out. So it's probably like you're saying probably a good thing I grabbed.
Now, it's mostly been the new 52 because most of the old stuff is out of print. A lot of the old older Flash
back issues.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying as far as people coming in getting Flash. But that one's been good. Shield isn't doing anything.
Shield doesn't even sell its own series.
No, and you didn't talk about did you talk about the spinoff that was announced?
Yeah, I know.
Which I'm like, really?
Well, here's the best part. The spinoff is going to be Mockingbird and her
husband.
Ex-husband.
Yeah.
Well, they're the two most interesting characters on the show.
Right, so what are
they
going to
do? Take them out and...
Are they going to be going off of S.H.I.E.L.D. or just having...
Don't know. It was just... I don't know if it was rumored or whatever, but I saw something about it. Yeah. I'm like... I don't know ratings and stuff, but I know I haven't watched it since it came back, and I'm not hearing anybody talking about it.
Like, I don't
you
watch
haven't
it
watched
live.
It since season two or since
the, no, since the, they took break. Their 4 month break at, from Christmas to whenever.
Yeah, I'm three
episodes behind. I mean, it's on the DVR, but it's just.
Especially if you look at it and you're like, I don't care.
Exactly.
To
yeah.
I
mean,
because
right it was, I want to watch Daredevil. And now it's like, I want to catch up on Flash and Arrow. Yes.
Plus, you got hockey playoffs.
Well, the hockey playoffs are killing me right now.
I think since the break, it's the best the series has been.
Okay. Just I look at it, and I'm sitting on like five in the DVR, and it's just like, I can see watch Fitz whining, and it just that's
early
what I saw.
Predictable. I've been watching it since it picked up.
Okay.
And I could almost the first part of the season, I could almost predict what was going to happen next, and for me. I mean, I'm not rocked each new episode, but I'm surprised.
Okay. I'll try to get
by different pieces of it.
The only thing I didn't like was the casting of the director of the quote unquote real Shield.
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, because I just keep thinking Starbuck's going to walk in or something. Or...
I don't know. I think Battlestar Galactica
is what?
What was the
Adama?
Adama, yeah. Captain Adama on Battlestar Galactica,
yeah. So when he comes on S.H.I.E.L.D., I get all screwed up. Like, what am I watching?
Exactly.
Keep him off a helicarrier, we're going to have problems.
It's one of those shows that's
I think he's
the
actually
last
on
of
a
my
helicopter.
List. Like, that I don't. I watch everything else that is out I like, and then when I get to that, I'm just like, yeah.
I think the one, like Daredevil, I think was a good one because there's definitely books I can put in people's hands and say, you like that? Okay, here's Man Without Fear.
And they didn't waste a whole episode giving us the origin again.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah. Well, they filtered it through the season
without
being big. It was
but in
just
the first issue, in the first episode, in the first 3 minutes, they told us everything we needed to know there. And then to your point, the rest could come
filled
later.
In. Yeah. Because we still haven't seen, I'm assuming they'll show when he dealt with the Fixer. Or maybe he still hasn't and he's going to. I'm assuming he did it as a teenager like he did in the books.
This is the first Kingpin I feel is
absolutely
menacing.
Absolutely fast.
He's
fantastic.
I think the best villain that Marvel's put on screen yet.
Absolutely.
Like the most engaging villain.
Yeah. And you can believe, you felt he really did want to help.
Yeah, like
and then, but you could also see him snap.
I mean, Loki's very charismatic on screen, but like, you really like can almost understand. Jokey. You can almost understand like where Fisk is coming from with his motivations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Well,
the other thing about it,
hand me the axe, or go get the axe, Wilson.
He's still young in terms of being the Kingpin. He hasn't really matured into it yet. So he's menacing now. Once he finally becomes comfortable with who he is and what he has to do, I mean, he'll really be a villain.
Yeah.
Not that
you haven't seen the. Have you seen?
And you brought
you
up.
You said you haven't seen the last.
I haven't seen the last.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
There's a part in the last one that's just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Regarding the Kingpin, just brilliant. Basically, defined the character. It was good.
Dude, after his origin story in the TV show, I kind of root for him.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a very good nemesis.
Like, go kill a bunch of
Daredevil.
People, dude. You deserve
but you can see through him, you're going to get Bullseye. You're going to get Elektra. You can see how that's going to come in.
Naturally.
I know what I haven't mentioned since we last met.
Yes.
I have my first gaming system.
Uh-oh.
And it was driven, Pong, again, by my daughter.
Okay.
Because she wanted to play Disney Infinity.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So that her favorite thing is
a downward spiral.
She plays Black Widow, and her favorite thing is just chasing me around and just killing me over and over again.
See, I got the joy of watching my son and his friend do that for an hour, and it's just like, is there a point to this?
Again,
as a watcher, not a player,
right.
It's very...
What console was this game on?
There's more kid friendly games because my daughter can play the Lego Movie game, which is very good. Me not being a gamer, so I went to arcades when I was a kid and put my quarters in, but when the first consoles were coming out, I was in the Army. So I missed learning the basics of the controller. So as a result, by the time I came out of the service, all my buddies were already, you know, first-person shooters, blah, you know, being able to keep... And I just didn't have the patience to sit down. But now, my daughter and I play at the same exact level. We're both learning at the same time.
It's good to know you're as good at video games as a six-year-old.
But you know what? It makes it fun. And at the end of the day, that's all it's about. I don't care what my score is. And my wife will sometimes come down the hall. She's like, you two are ridiculous down here, laughing and screaming at each other and...
That's probably more enjoyable because my stepdaughter's five and we'll play. And there'll be like times where I'm like, no, you just got to do that. Just hit this and move it. I think I would almost rather be like at the same level to where.
Well, my daughter will figure out especially in the Lego games, she'll figure out the puzzles and then go to me for the moves. So if you need to be a certain character to jump to grab something, I'll help her there. But a lot of times she'll figure out the puzzle aspects of where we are before I catch on to it. She's like, no, Daddy, you need to go over here and kick. Like, kick that thing. I'm like, why would I kick that thing? Because it's the only thing we haven't kicked and we're still stuck here.
I don't want to play with you anymore.
I'm like, how does she keep track of all the things that I was kicking? But
did you play the Marvel Lego game?
No.
Oh, that's very good.
We have Mario 3D World, the Lego game, Barbie Fashion Dream House.
Well, I play that all the time with Iceman.
and Disney Infinity. So, but I thought, at least for me, I thought the graphics and there's enough failing forward gameplay early on that I'm still playing Disney Infinity. I know sooner or later I'm going to hit a boss that I just can't get past, and that's where I just, like, walk away. I just walk away.
Turn it off, I win.
I'm just amazed. Whenever we got this, and my wife is one that, like, said, oh, let's get this, I never thought we would end up with as many characters as we have. And now I sit there, and, like, in the game, and I look, because they're all in front of the TV, and I'm like, if I actually counted in my head how much we've spent in this one game, I would cry.
Don't do it. But it's sheer genius, right?
It is.
So you think about it. They get the folks that collect the figurines that aren't gamers will buy them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the gamers who want to be able to play every move, every level, are going to want them. And just fans of either set of characters are going to want certain ones.
And then she got me with the Marvel side. And then, you know, my stepdaughter's like, oh, they have Tinkerbell. Oh, they have...
Tinkerbell with a ray gun is deadly. I am... Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
But these little figures, you're right. That's the thing now. Yeah. Because, like, it started with, what, Skylanders?
Yeah.
And then Disney's brought theirs out. I think Disney's got it better. Like, they know how to do it.
Yeah.
Where Nintendo brought out those Amiibos, and they're not so... I don't really play.
Nintendo did...
I don't think they're...
They did something good in that they made it so it was more integral to several games.
Yeah.
But it's something you can kind of just, like, forget about also with the way Nintendo did it.
So wait, you got to buy actual figures.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And you put them in the game.
Well, the first set, you get some figures to get going. Yeah. But two doors down from where I live is one of the guys that worked on the Skylander series. Uh-huh. And I went to his kid's birthday party, so I met all these, you know, the game developers and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were actually talking about why the figurines came to be, which was the game developers needed another way to get incremental revenue out of the game buyers, but not have to put out a whole new version of the game.
Yeah.
So here you can do incremental, introduce new characters, introduce new moves.
It's a physical version of in-app purchases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they made it so you were getting something tangible, which people were more willing to spend money
on. But they still didn't lower the price of the games.
No.
So
why would you do that?
I never thought, like, before we got it, I never thought that I would have invested this much into it. And every time I look at it, I'm like, I'm such a sucker. But it worked.
I think we have like 18 of them now.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to
think. Do you play Spider-Man Unlimited on your phone? I feel that way every time I buy more stuff to buy characters. It's like $20.
That's where they get the adults. Like they'll get the Lego adults. Announced their own version of this
too. Really?
Yeah, and Lego, they're bringing all their different properties.
Yeah, it's Lego Dimensions.
So they have Back to the Future.
Yeah.
In Ghostbusters. There. They have
Ghostbusters.
I didn't see anything with Ghostbusters yet. But I saw Back to the Future stuff. I saw DC.
Yeah, DC's on it. It was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
And the Lego movie is involved in it.
And they're going like higher value figures as well, because I think like if you want to get the DeLorean, it's $30-some as opposed to the $15.
Lego action will kill figures. All that. Yeah. They will. I mean, Lego is like the number one toy company in the world. So it's able to.
I think they retail for $14.99,
but sale for like $12 though. Yeah,
say $11.99 is usually what I grab them for.
So I gotta start like mugging little kids on the way home from school.
But then they also sell like packs of discs where you don't know what's gonna be in the pack. So you buy those. As
yeah,
well
that's
to get
the
add-ons.
Other ones. And even those are $6 a pop.
Yeah.
So they got their both hands are in my. Never mind. Both of their hands are in my wallet.
Is that
in your pants? No, in my wallet. In my wallet.
Yeah, like they, because you have the figures, which are like $12 to $15 each, and they sell some packs, which are a bit cheaper than the, like, if you want to play outside the toy box, like have actual missions, then you have to have play sets that you buy, and that costs extra.
Oh, jeez.
And then if you want to buy, like, discs to add accessories, like say you have characters that can't fly, and that's the worst. If you're playing with a character that flies, and the person you're playing with can't fly, it becomes very frustrating for that person.
Yeah.
So then there's accessories to help them out so they can fly around. And those packs, you don't see what's in the pack.
Yeah.
You just buy it, it's sealed, and there's two discs in there, and it could be anything. So they've found.
Yeah, I saw the discs on.
It's genius how they've found ways to monetize this thing throughout the entire, you know, funnel.
It's not like you're putting like heavy money on one thing. You're putting it on like different things.
And then as soon as you finally get tired of this game, 3.0 will come out. And they've already started talking about characters for 3.0.
And then what? Those ones that you have won't work on
the it? Characters no, work, but some
work
of the
missions,
the missions or the extra worlds or things may not make it over.
Like they all work in the toy box, which is like the big universe you can build.
Yeah.
But in the structured missions, only certain characters work.
So Elsa and Anna,
do you got to shell out
1.0. So their characters work on my game.
That one's not out
yet. Their missions and stuff
won't work on that thing. Well, see, the gist of the amiibos are that, like, they basically just hold information.
Yeah, and that's
and
the thing.
It doesn't seem like they do much.
Unless
like,
you want to collect.
Now, they're very collectible because they're selling.
Yeah, if you want to collect the statues with the amiibos, then great. But you don't really have, from a, like, player standpoint, a real need to buy several of these
things.
The
only thing I don't know, because they released the Super Mario Brothers ones, and they play on that new Mario Party game as board game pieces. So they might do more than what the ones for Super Smash Brothers will do.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I'm not sure how that works exactly. Now, if you have one for Super Smash Brothers like Mario, he'll play on the Mario Party and stuff like that. So that helps. But yeah, they seem like, Disney Infinity seems like they have like the idea of how it should work.
Yeah, they have the idea on how to get people to buy a lot. Nintendo is getting people to have this like connection with one and develop it and keep it, continue using it. So.
Well, when we went down to Disney and stayed at the Grand Lodge, you know, their Disney hotel on site. In the main lodge room, they have, while you're waiting to check in and stuff, they have TVs and things and the games for the kids to play. And, you know, they got Disney Infinity on one of those TVs down there. And in a case, they have all of the statues. And my daughter's coming around, I didn't even know they had this one. So it's there's constantly.
We're going down there in a month, and already I'm seeing, like, how much stuff we're going to come back with in this trip.
If you come back.
If I come back.
Yeah. So what
if
not saying something's going to, you know,
so you're playing this game at like 4 in the morning.
You're going to run out of money.
Down there.
And you want a new character. Like, are you just SOL until the next day?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to play as someone different, you have to buy the figurine. But say you're playing a game and your character dies.
Love it.
It'll say, please put another character on the base or have the person you're playing with resurrect your guy. So the person playing has to come over and save you, or you have to just swap out and put another character on.
So it's multiplayer only?
If you don't have another character, single player, you're just dead.
If you're single player, then you start back at a checkpoint or something.
Okay.
So.
I play with myself all the time.
Yeah.
Disney Infinity, that is.
They said it teaches kids about death. That's good.
Playing with yourself?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, I'm not paying attention.
How did we get back on Iceman?
Did he ever really go away?
I don't know. It took Gene to bring him out of the closet.
What are you looking forward to next month?
Vacation. Colin.
So Convergence is going. So aren't we getting ready for Secret Wars? When
Secret Wars starts May 6th, where we'll be having our launch party.
Party?
Roughly probably around 6 o'clock, we're going to have a pizza
Smash
party.
Pizza?
Yes, because as we all know, during the announcement, sorry, you didn't see my air quotes, the description of Secret Wars was... You have the Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe, and imagine them each as a pizza. Smash them together. When you pull them apart, some toppings have moved from one pizza
will
to the other.
Will there be pizza smashing?
There will be pizza smashing.
Are you actually going to take two pizzas?
We will.
So
there will be
moment,
a smashing.
We have no idea what will be on the pizza that we eat.
Right, so one's going to be anchovies and pineapple, and the other... No, I don't.
Don't be that guy.
Do we get to throw pizzas at
he's
you?
No,
there's no pizza throwing,
piece.
But there will
where
be
there will be pizza. I think I mentioned this. There he's going to smash a pizza.
There will be the Super smashing.
Because, I mean, if we went down to Little Caesars, you could buy, like...
Don't worry, I got connections.
For, like, $5, you can...
This is a comic book podcast, but don't even get me going on that bacon pizza. Holy cow, that is
good?
Dude, I can eat a whole one right to my head.
The bacon-wrapped pizza?
Amazing. Amazing.
I wasn't really...
I don't know. The commercials made me think that's one step too far.
It is, but I can do it.
I was wanting more bacon for the pizza.
It's got 3 feet of bacon around
it.
Not
enough.
How late's Kmart open and how soon does this podcast end?
That you know what, that one is awful up there. They close really early.
They're a sponsor, Adam.
Kmart sponsors
better
this?
Sponsors.
I didn't know you had a sponsor.
We don't have a sponsor.
Pittsburgh Comics, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, those guys.
So on May 6th, there will be some sort of party. So,
lunch party.
Yeah. Lunch party.
I think they missed a little bit of an opportunity. I know it probably won't make a huge difference, but just as an old timer that remembers when Secret Wars first came out, I think it would have been fun to have Jim Shooter somehow involved.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it would have made it. Yeah, especially for the older folks like me, a little more special than just, wow, here's an event we haven't talked about in 30 years. Let's dust this.
Oh, it's been planned for 3 years, but yeah.
Yeah, it's all, everything's
well, it's about
all...
how long Hickman's were writing Avengers.
That's right, exactly. But I don't think this whole event...
No. I think they wrote themselves into too many corners.
Yeah, and said, how can we get out of this? Wait, no, we'll make Iceman gay, but
time.
Now... we'll...
And we'll smash
have him
a pizza
send,
on him.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do this, and all of a sudden he's just going to fall off.
He's gonna fall off the pace.
They're gonna end up going back.
Is Foul Cap gonna fall off? Because I don't like him.
We don't know.
Foul Cap?
Foul Cap.
Foul Cap.
Foul Cap. Falcon Captain
Falcon
America.
Cap.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a way to undo.
I was like, wow, is there a new Captain America I wasn't aware of?
There is.
Walks around swearing and like, he's foul.
Foul Cap.
F A L.
Sorry,
Capcom is already here.
So I was just reading an interview with Axel Alonso, and he. Well, one, he basically said it's not a reboot because they don't feel they need to reboot anything, which, like Matt kind of said,
they
kind of written themselves into several corners, and this is going to be an easy out.
It's like LL Cool J said, don't call it a comeback.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
let's back up. Like,
when
don't
Mama said knock you out,
so many
don't
corners.
Call it a reboot. Maybe that's what we should. What?
Let's hit on each one of those corners that they've written themselves into.
They can't figure out what to do with the young X-Men. You can't have the young X-Men and the old X-Men simultaneously existing.
Mm-hmm.
And what should have been like a 6-issue story arc, all of a sudden we're now on year 3. And it just, you don't need two versions of the exact same person running around. And I think just it doesn't have the excitement or the interest that it had at the beginning. Now it's getting just a little tedious as to when are they going home? Because everybody thought it was going to be during Battle of the Atom, and it didn't happen then. And now
actually,
it's just
that
gotten
was the
a little
point
old.
At the ending of Battle of the Atom, wasn't it? Because they were like, no, we're not sending him home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain America being 90.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got to somehow undo that because, well, you know, not necessarily. Foul Cap is a neat idea, but
you have people to still have want Steve their Rogers. Captain America.
Okay, so let's look at popular fictional characters that have spanned multiple generations, mm-hmm. right? Who comes to mind?
Mickey Mouse.
Okay. Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
Superman.
Sure.
I think part of the reasons, and this is just opinion, that they have been successful across multiple generations is that those characters, Doctor Who, mm-hmm. are reinterpreted multiple times.
Sure.
And
but my problem with the whole Foul Cap thing was it spun right out of Captain America 2, which would have been a perfect time to have Falcon be a character. Let him be his own character, because he was such a cool part in the movie. What if we had a Falcon book spinning right out of that? You know, that would have had some popularity. Instead, they said, oh, wait, let's make him Captain America. I'm like, well, all of a sudden you're making him someone he's not.
But then again, and
he's
having to live up to something else. How well did that work with War Machine and Iron Patriot?
Well, that book was just
terrible. That was terrible.
Yeah. So it's just the book quality in that case?
I don't expect
them to do better, though.
That was that Mark.
I mean, I get
Rudy,
what you're saying.
It?
You should have a Falcon
No,
movie.
War Machine was Gary
Wild Falcon's
Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Or book.
But, yeah, that was bad.
Like, dude, you know how much of an Iron Man fan I am.
But that would have been like having War Machine take over the Iron Man book. You know, they're just what.
Well,
you
at least
know,
that would have been
Captain America. Yeah,
at least that would have been founded in comic.
I want to read Foul Cap.
Sell it while it's in people's minds.
Yeah.
Is what they need to do.
We'll add that to my collection.
But no, I'm interested in a lot of the titles and what they're doing with them. I just don't see how it's all going to work together. They haven't given me enough to kind of like. One of the things he said in the article was that each of these stories is going to continue post Secret Wars. Some part of it, or it's going to have an impact on it. And I'm thinking, like, you know, the 1872, how are you going to do the Old West version of Captain America? How's that going to continue? Or even Old Man Logan, you know, is this how they bring Wolverine back?
Because
that's
like
another
it's
thing they wrote them into a corner.
Or is this a riddle that never gets answered? So has that ever been the norm? Has it ever been neat, other than when there was only two issues of a book from a publisher?
Right.
So,
no, but it's just interesting with all these tie-ins, almost like what-if books, but he came out and actually said these are not what-ifs.
So for me, that's part of the charm of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Is
you can do stuff.
That you can write yourself, you can create yourself off into all these crazy places and still be able to reel it back in. I just don't like the term reboot.
No. And, I mean, you know, they're not necessarily going to reboot.
I prefer
it sounds like it's going to be a soft reboot more than a...
Well, just kind of re... don't talk soft around Sean. Okay. Pills
it's got to be hard reboot.
Wow.
Nothing at
it's
all.
My job to go off the rails, Colin, not yours.
Sorry.
I want the Black Punisher back.
But yeah, I see them doing that kind of with the X-Men. You know, we do need a restart of that. If nothing else, bring more people into it. People that
X-Men are dead. Long live the Inhumans.
Oh God. I have no problem with the Inhumans. I have a problem with the way they're trying to force Inhumans on everybody.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying.
That's all. It's just Inhumans are great, but here's three books starring the Inhumans.
Really?
Because you asked for it.
You know, give me one good X book. You know, give me one that as far as like classic, Uncanny Claremont. This is the book you need to read. None of the X books are really that right now. People ask me to explain it. It's like, well, All New is the Young X-Men, and Uncanny is the Evil X-Men. We're the regular X-Men. Yeah, I don't know.
Amazing.
Amazing, yeah. That's a great selling book. Almost as good as Fabulous. that was for Joe.
Thanks.
And actually, it's the Fantabulous X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Ab-fabulous.
What's that called in comedy? A reach back? A pullback?
Hey,
reach
around?
I call it.
Wow!
That's off the rails twice.
What? I'm seeing you talking about rusty trombones.
Callback.
No, I didn't say that at all.
At least it wasn't coming out of my mouth.
Callback.
That's what Iceman said.
Do you think it plays into trying to phase out the X-Men and phase out the Fantastic Four?
No, I don't think they're doing that.
Fantastic Four needs to go away for a little bit, just in the sense it needs to come back with some purpose. The problem with the Fantastic Four is you had a really good run by Mark Miller, and then you had Hickman take over, which was really good, but it was, what, like 4 years long? Hard to get into. From what I've heard from the people who stuck with it the whole time, it was fantastic. But I try to read bits and pieces and couldn't make sense of it.
I've been following it all the way through.
But if you got to invest into 48 issues...
But that's very hard to ask somebody to do.
If you buy the omnibus of that, it's an awesome
Probably,
read.
Yeah.
I read it in the omnibus. But, I thought it was a banger.
But the problem is, you have...
A banger? What, are you Irish now?
I don't know what that is.
No, it's like something good.
But, they forgot Stan's motto of every issue is somebody's first. And kind of have to keep that in mind.
But no publisher does that.
Not completely, but...
Not like they used to.
But then you had Fraction's run, which was kind of... Never really took off. It was weird. Fantastic Four and FF and... And then he left under mysterious circumstances.
He wasn't fired. They just... departed ways.
Never seen again.
And then, when's that last issue of Hawkeye come?
he still works there.
Yeah. Then you had the Robinson book series where he changed the colors of their costume right off. And I think it alienated a lot of, not fans, but casual readers. The fans were going to read it. The hardcore Fantastic Four people were going to read it.
Was that the white uniform?
Yeah. No, it's red.
Yeah.
They had red uniforms.
That was the
white was the FF.
Blood red.
I thought the red... Doesn't the red jerseys, don't they die?
Yeah, or something. I don't know, but it's been plummeted.
Richard dies.
And it's one of those things where they just really need to let it sit for a little bit. Have the characters, whatever, but then bring back a book with a big, ta-da, here they are.
To me, it seems like DC's Crisis on Infinite Earths, their kind of formula where they're taking the characters, they're putting them on one Earth of multiple universes. They're good characters from everything, and they're making them think like nothing ever happened. This is how the world is now.
Right.
That seems like what their formula is for. So it's not really a reboot, I guess, is what he's saying.
I guess
it's not
really. Yeah, I'm just having a hard time understanding the concept of Battle World, only in the sense of. So there's going to be Battle World, but does this mean for the regular people, Africa's gone?
Yeah.
And it's, things like that. I mean, I just don't understand that concept of, is the Earth itself changing or...
Well, but then they also have books going on at the same time that aren't impacted at all.
Which is very confusing.
Yeah, that's...
And weird things Hawkeye. Like Bucky.
Bucky?
Well, Hawkeye's not affecting it either. So you have Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier, which his job is to protect the Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been pretty bad.
That book yet?
Not yet.
Oh, it's terrible.
You have Hawkeye, you have all the Spider-Women books.
Squirrel Girl,
Howard the Duck, which fine, whatever. Yeah, but then there's a Howard World in Battle World. So what does that mean?
New Quack City.
I like the Howard.
I'm not my brother's
keeper. I like the first issue of the new Howard the Duck series.
I haven't read the second one. The only thing I didn't like about the first issue was the end, where all of a sudden it's Rocket Raccoon. It's like, oh, God, enough with the Guardian characters.
Well, that was too easy.
You don't need to put them in every book.
But I like the callback to Spider-Man appearing in the original Howard the Duck number one issue. To have him appear in the new one.
Yeah,
so I thought that was...
If you read issue two, the Rocket Raccoon's kind of going back to the end of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Okay. But just when I saw him, I just went, oh, God.
That's too much.
Well, there's not enough Guardians books. Oh. That's the problem.
Shut up. We have group coming now, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you want to sit at the little table in the kitchen?
No, but I'm saying we have Guardians, we have Legendary Star-Lord... We have Rocket, we have Groot, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Team-Up, we have Guardians 3000. It's like, guys, it was one movie. Chill.
That seems to be, their thing right now, though. Like, they have to be.
One movie and they got seven books out of it.
Ring it out.
Howard the Duck shows up in one thing at the end, and bam, there's a Howard the Duck
movie. That's true.
So I'd connect that to
He was in an after-credit scene. Yeah. He needs a book.
He needs a book.
You get a book.
We can't tell you what that song.
Where's the Cosmo book? He's the guy that licked the guy. Yeah, we need a book.
He needs a book.
Iceman.
Oh. Oh, come on.
Was that an Iceman joke?
That was.
Licking
that
a
was.
That dog? Was All right. Good. Was there peanut butter involved?
Hey, always one step too far. Everything.
We're going to get labeled.
Listen to you, reach around guy.
I said reach back, like reach
back. Call back.
Call back, Mac, reach back.
Paddywhack.
This is all podcast
San Francisco thing on that, yeah. Okay.
What happens when we stray from the formula?
I want someone to walk in and be like, aren't you the reach around guy?
No.
Hey, that's what you get for his for saying he's the what is it, the pole?
We're not going to bring that thing.
Yeah. But that's what he gets for that.
Josh knows how to work a pole. Yeah.
Colin's the reach around guy. What has this podcast become?
Explicit. Entertaining.
I was in Chicago recently.
It lost
start
to...
with the E.
Is it Graham Cracker?
Sure.
Graham Cracker. Yep. Comic. Mm-hmm. I did not realize they have 9 locations.
Yep.
How is that even possible in today's world?
Chicago's a big area. You know.
Well, so is LA, and there's no...
Yeah.
Where, besides Midtown, who else has many locations?
But
Well, most people in LA can't read. So let's
we just lost them all.
There goes all our West Coast listeners.
Send your emails to Gorilla Grog.
It's Gorilla Bob.
Gorilla Grog.
Gorilla Grog's gonna come after you now because you sent all of his emails. He's like, that's not me.
Let's call it a day.
Call it a day. We're only halfway through, man. Oh, we got the second half.
What's the second half?
The second half is talking about books we've read recently. Everybody's favorite part of the podcast, so they know what to read.
What do you read?
You want to start us off?
Me, I'll start. I read 3 books, so I'll start us off.
Yeah.
Hockey is killing me.
No excuses.
What?
Yeah,
is that a new image
come
book?
Come on.
No.
Hockey's killing me? Hockey's that does sound like an image book.
But I will start with an image book that I enjoyed immensely, which was Chrononauts 2. Oh.
That was really good.
You know, I read the first one, and I wasn't blown away. It was pretty much a time travel book where when the guy goes to jump in time travel, something goes wrong and he ends up in the wrong place. Gosh, we've never seen that story ever before.
Right.
Quantum Leap. And so I wasn't super excited about it. So it took me a little while to read it. That was fantastic. That took a left turn that you didn't see coming. Basically, the guy ended up in the wrong place, but fixed his suit, and he's been bopping around all over the place, and he's got relationships in all these different times. He's a pharaoh in ancient Egypt. He's like the mob boss in the 1920s.
Date Marilyn Monroe.
He's dating all these, you know, very famous people. When his friend shows up to save him, he's like, save me? No way. Here, turn off your transmitter. They won't be able to find us. This is great. We can, you know, he's like, but you're screwing up the time stream. He's like, so what? I don't care.
That's not my problem.
So it was just, that was a lot of fun. And then the people are going to come try to get them and undo them. So it's only, I think it's only 4 issues.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I can see how this, you know, it can easily wrap up in 2, you know, with the conflict and however he decides to end it. But the Sean Gordon Murphy art was just spectacular. He loves drawing vehicles, and you can tell.
There's a lot of different vehicles.
It's just, it was a really, really, really good book.
Did he draw the first one?
Yeah. Yeah, he drew both. He's drawing all of it, but... It's been a long day, man. I'm 4 hours asleep.
You can't make any mistakes around
him. No, not around Matt. He's perfect.
Zeroes in on him.
The only other 2 I read are Convergence 2. Yeah. I want it to be good, but it's the main book has kind of meandered a little. Okay, not great. I read 3, and it's like, okay, are we going anywhere?
Did you notice the big mistake in it?
2?
With the art?
Yeah. No. I heard you guys talking about it, but I didn't.
When Batman is drawn 2 completely different ways in the course of 3 panels.
Okay.
Like in the midst of a conversation, suddenly goes from 1 bat suit to a completely different bat suit, and then back to the other one again. Like,
that happens.
They had
it completely killed the flow of the story.
Oh, okay.
They had a problem with the writing on the first one, where they actually changed Grayson's son's name to Tommy.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
It's Tommy or Billy. Who cares?
His name was Johnny because he's named after Dick Grayson's
father. I know. Since I wasn't reading it before, I had no idea. Yeah.
They changed his name.
Johnny, Timmy, Billy, Susie. Yeah,
so
it's a girl now.
Whatever. They're not. Yeah.
And then I had a break, but I was sitting down and read The Green Lantern Parallax, and that was actually good.
That was good.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about it, and it made me realize that might be something they could have done, I didn't know who the person Green Lantern was going to be fighting was. I had no concept of who that character was. So in the back, it would have been nice to have a page about that. Like, the first week, it wasn't a problem. I knew who those people were.
Yeah.
But on that one, I had no idea who Lady Quark was. That, and then, like, Adam...
Well, and it referred
I think Adam was trying to tell me who it was. I'm like, okay...
I don't really know
you know, if it's somebody from Crisis or something, he was he grabbed Crisis and was showing up. I'm like, well, I read Crisis and Issues when it came out, so...
They needed something. Yeah.
I needed something
like,
to
some
help
sort of
me
guide,
with
at least, to explain who, like, at least the ones.
Yes,
that we
I know I should read it again,
understand.
But it's really dense.
Well, like, it also referenced back to Supergirl because that's where Lady Quark and Lord Volt
showed up.
Okay, so yeah. I didn't read that one yet.
So they're not even there while their city was.
Well, that was the
princess.
Yeah, that was the princess that showed up there to fight. Paralyze.
Yeah, Princess Fern. Yes. Yeah. So that was just, I was a little lost reading that.
That was, that, and like, I didn't necessarily know who, like, the San Diego people were until you told me it was the Wildstorm character.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, I, that no was, idea. That was easier to understand. But
man,
yeah, just
Julie hasn't read any Wildstorm.
No. Well, DC hasn't because they bought it from him. But I'm sure that it's part of him wanting to keep him alive.
For sure.
That's like, versus this universe, in San Diego. Diego.
Yeah, like, well, yeah. I don't know any of the Wildstorm characters at all.
You know Grifter?
I knew Grifter because they brought him into this, but that was about
it. Yeah, that's the only one.
Midnighter?
Yeah.
Okay. Apollo.
But that's all I read. So, sorry. I failed. I failed this podcast.
That's a podcast.
No, not at all.
See you next week.
We're almost 2 hours and now you're just getting to the book.
Dave?
You brought up video games. That was like 45 minutes.
Sorry.
You get Adam talking about Nintendo and, you know.
I don't know. It's all connected, though.
Oh, it is, but I'm just saying. Get him off on a tangent.
Last week saw the release of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh, I read that too.
Yeah.
Number two.
That was excellent.
It was excellent. It was a true horror comic, I think, in every sense of the word.
But not too gory, but not I mean, when gory, you looked at the detail of her face, it was pretty gory.
But it was good. The scene with the bears at the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of gory, but more mentally, just very, because it's Madam Satan rises from hell, and she is Sabrina.
That's what you want to read in Archie comic about Madam Satan.
Yeah, Madam Satan is Sabrina's father's jilted lover, and she's coming back to get revenge, and
that was good.
Francavilla cover.
One of
yes, he did a variant, but it was Robert Hack doing the interiors, and I'd never heard of him before this. But yeah, it fits perfect.
So were they trying to invoke or evoke that any EC?
It looks like
I'd say almost
comic.
More like creepy, like 70s style horror.
When they couldn't say certain things,
right? Well, they're not saying anything bad. There's no nudity, but it's implied, and
those books still.
Is this supposed to be Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
It is, but it's not. It's not Archie's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It's
in the vein of Afterlife.
Yes, very much in the vein of Afterlife.
But
it was very good. It's an Archie book, but it's an Archie terror horror book, which is a different.
Which if you're not reading Afterlife with Archie, check it out. It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
all
right,
really good.
I never would have thought that I would be buying an Archie book, but that one is. It's phenomenal.
I love the Harlequin book. I never thought I'd be buying that book month after month after month. So you never know what you're going to like sometimes.
What else you got, Dave? Sorry, derailed you.
I read another Archie book, The Fox, number one.
Okay, that's from the Dark. That's the Dark Circle.
It's part of the Dark Circle, but it's an all ages book. It's not like the Black Hood or something. It's by Dean Haspiel and Mark Waid. And Paul Patton is the Fox. He's a photojournalist in this issue. You know, he's with his son in his old town, which is now a ghost town. It's going to be flooded to use as a river basin for the neighboring town.
Wait, wasn't that the plot behind Deliverance?
And it's going to be flooded by this criminal who's the head of this corporation, Mr. Smile. So it's a fun book. It's old school. You know, it could be like a Silver Age book. Nothing objectionable in it at all. And last one was Bloodshot. I read Bloodshot number one, Josh.
I really enjoyed that.
It was really good. I don't know much about Bloodshot. I just spotted Jeff Lemire is the writer.
Yeah,
and it was really good.
So Bloodshot, Valiant, when they did the reboot, had a new Bloodshot series. And Bloodshot is a character, he's this soldier, doesn't really know who he is. He was infused with these nanites, so he can sustain pretty much any wound. I mean, like, been shot, big hole right in the head, and they repair his body.
Which is one of the things that bothered me with the cover of Valiant number one, where it had his bloody eye stuff on all the promo stuff. It's like, why? You know, just, I didn't.
Sounds more like a Deathlock.
Yeah, I think just trying to show.
Yeah, it was just, it was an image. It was just weird.
Because throughout the Valiant, he was constantly getting, you know, beat up. But so he can take a ton of abuse, and he's, you know, this master with all weaponry. But I read the first couple issues of the when they relaunched the Bloodshot book. I've never been a big Bloodshot fan. Like, I have not found the character particularly engaging at all. Like, not too deep for the character. But with Unity, and then, I don't know, were you reading The Valiant, Dave, at all?
No.
And
well,
with
I think I read the first issue or so, but I didn't catch up on that.
And with The Valiant, they went to great lengths to really, like, flesh him out more as the deeper character. And The Valiant ended with Kay McHenry, the Geomancer, dying, but before she died, she wanted to, because Bloodshot was trying to protect her, give him a gift of curing him of these nanites.
Okay.
And she removed him from his body and let him finally, like, be just a normal guy again. And we saw with Bloodshot Reborn that his, you know, stab at, like, a normal life has not gone that
he's
well
he's working
for him so far.
Maintenance guy
at like some
motel.
CD motel, yeah. And having constant flashbacks and visions of Kay and returning to being like Bloodshot, or having the nanites come back into his body. Like, he's seeing these visions or, you know, hallucinations.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's on drugs and an alcoholic now. And
now, so it's worked out well.
This
Blood Squirt character.
Blood Squirt.
What can you tell me about him? Is this a new character?
Well, I read a thing with Jeff Lemire. Blood Squirt started off as a joke.
Okay.
Like, he just drew a sketch of Blood Squirt for someone else at Valiant. And they liked it so much, I guess, that they tried to incorporate it in the book, and that's how.
Okay, so this is his first appearance.
Yeah, so, like, Bloodsport is the only part of the book that Jeff Lemire's drawing. Like, he's drawing Bloodsport, I believe.
Okay. It's like a tiny Titan version of Bloodsport.
Yeah, so when he's watching TV, he sees, like, this cartoon version of himself called Bloodsport that has these.
Kind of like Squirt. Batmite?
Yeah, or like Batmite. Or like Batmite. Or like Batmite. Yeah, that's probably better, yeah.
Who has these, you know, squirt guns shooting blood out, and he's trying to, like,
it's like you don't expect. I didn't expect you know, that kind of comedy.
It works
in this book at all, but it works.
Yeah, it was fun, and the book ends with him seeing a news report about someone who, like, was he taking hostages
or shoots up some people.
It's, but he looks like Bloodshot. Like, he has the pale skin, the big red dot. He's like an older guy with a beard. So he's seeing someone that looks like he did before, that's, you know, going on this rampage. So he takes a t-shirt and paints a big red dot on it, throws it on, and says that, you know, even though he doesn't have the nanites, he can still be a hero.
Somebody blows his arm up.
I'm sure he's going to get some sort of powers back, but It was good. It was a really good debut issue, and it, like I said, for me, who wasn't a big Bloodshot fan in the beginning, this sold me on the character, and I'll be buying it month to month.
Is that some ongoing then? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's an ongoing. Okay. And they've already
like through 9 or 10 issues. Yeah.
Past 15.
Okay. Oh wow, great!
Because they have different artists for the arcs, for each of the arcs, and Lemire's already written through 15, which. There's rumors that Lemire has signed exclusively with Marvel now. So I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons why so many were written in advance or what, but nothing official has been said.
Well, a lot of those
yet.
Exclusives, right, are there? It's an exclusive except for XYZ properties that you already work on.
Yeah, because I think he also has a new one coming from Dark Horse.
Dark Horse and Image, they seem to always get a pass because with the creator-owned. But since Valiant's not creator-owned, I'm not sure if it's.
I heard that was delayed, that Black Hammer series.
I did. I just saw something about that. Yeah.
See, is Black Hammer the one he's doing with Scott Snyder? Or is it a different one? See, it's one with Scott Snyder. He's doing as well.
I think that's Scott. No, the Scott Snyder one is, like, After Death or something
like
that.
That's right, After Death, yeah. But that's Bloodshot Reborn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the news.
It was good. I think you would like it, actually.
Well, Adam wouldn't like it. He doesn't like anything.
Wow.
Speaking of DC. Even though we worked. Dave?
That's it.
Joe, what do you got?
Skip me.
Oh, come on. You read all the weeklies, man.
You know, the thing that really caught me over the course of the past week was the death of Herb Trimpe.
Yeah.
You know, I've been looking up a lot of his old commissions, checking out a lot of
all
his
of your
books.
Personally owned old commissions?
I have a few pieces from him. Herb Trimpe, because he drew the first appearance Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, that's your
favorite.
I forgot about that.
And I collect sketches of first appearance Wolverine.
Did you meet him ever?
Yeah, a few times. He was always really generous. Yeah, and you know, what's funny is over the course of the last few years, there were times when he was in relative obscurity, when people weren't fighting to get a Herb Trimpe autograph or sketch.
I was going to say, for the longest time, he kind of got almost slammed for being too house style, too... Yeah.
And what kind of happened in the last year is he experienced a rebirth with some of the variant covers that he did for the Death of Wolverine miniseries, and there was kind of a resurgence to his popularity. And when I saw him at conventions in 2014, his line was just endless. You know, people coming up for CGC books or just to get something signed. There were times when he didn't have time to stop and sketch. So, yeah, so he ended his career, he ended his life on a high note, and, you know, the industry is worse off to not have him anymore.
Why did it increase, do you think? Out of nowhere, because you said...
Because he was doing variants for Death of Wolverine.
Yeah,
because
he wasn't really known, you know,
being introduced.
He was known from the 70s, but nothing recent.
Okay.
But I think it was important that there were at least a couple of artists around doing that house style. That's part of the reason I think I stayed with Marvel. Mm-hmm. All
it was
through
part of
series.
My childhood, because I consider that G.I. Joe number one cover iconic. He did G.I. Joe and Transformers and all
like
that.
My Spider-Man artist is Ross Andrew. And people are like, well, Ross Andrew. I'm like, you know what? That was...
Yeah.
So now would be a good time to sell G.I. Joe number one.
It's probably at a high point.
I can't do that.
Where are we?
Their neighbor Josh?
Whoever. Josh, the only non-convergence book that I had was Bloodshot. So since all three of us are reading conversions, what'd you guys like? What didn't you like?
I like Shadow of the Bat.
Yeah, Shadow of the Bat wasn't bad.
You know, we hadn't seen... Because Azrael never showed up in New 52. So it's been a few years. I don't ever remember seeing him in New 52.
No, there was an Azrael series, but that was before.
Yeah, it's before that. I don't think
yeah, that's
Jean
what I'm
Paul
saying.
That wasn't Jean Paul Valley.
So we have.
Wasn't Jean Paul Valley in Batman Incorporated? That was someone else.
No, because he died.
It might have been as he said. It might have been before that because Batman Incorporated was before New 52 and
that's right,
Dorn.
Yeah.
So it probably wasn't Jean Paul Valley. That was probably Azrael.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
I like the Green Arrow one.
Yeah, I like
that
one
good.
Too. That was pretty interesting.
I didn't know that about Connor Hawk. Was that how it always was? That he was like his mother was from somewhere else.
His mother was Cheshire. No, that was
I read that.
No,
the
that
Connor
was
Hawk
her
was original, this,
yeah,
her daughter.
Yeah, the Connor Hawk that they used in this wasn't
Greedo
from the same
continuity.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very... It kind of confused me, because I remember him from that. I don't remember...
Yeah.
Like
but the story was good.
Oh, it was a good story. Yeah, it was good.
I like how this week's Convergence tie-ins didn't follow the same formula quite as strictly as the first week's did. It didn't feel like it was kind of tired and how it was
played
out.
I kind of like this run of the books better than the first one that they threw out.
Supergirl, Matrix.
Supergirl I thought was kind of funny. I just liked it because it
banter.
Went in a different tone. Yeah, I swear it had almost like a Roadrunner feel because even she was running around saying beep beep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The machine was saying beep beep and then they were kept fighting. Lady Quark and what's his name were kept
Volt.
Fighting. Volt.
Yeah.
Were just going back and forth and then as she wasn't paying attention to them and then she'd go do something else and they didn't
and then when
fight.
She finally got involved, it was clear she was...
That she was
going to
take him.
Yeah.
And I forgot about the clone. It's just one thing that, you know, you kind of forgot. And then Lex Luthor had the red hair.
Right.
just it was fun. It was a fun issue. Steel was kind of fun, but it wasn't.
I didn't love Steel.
Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't like how, but it was written. If any of the books, it like felt like that's where it was from.
Yeah,
you know, from that time period, because that is the writer from that time period that was doing a lot of that. So.
Superboy.
Superboy, I like.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That was different.
And I liked at the end who he goes up against. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was the first one I was reading that somebody went up against the Kingdom Come character.
Yeah.
Which one did he go up against? Was it Batman?
No, it wasn't Batman.
Superman.
That would have been easy.
Superman. Yeah, because he said, are you ready to earn the S? Or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah, it said surrender.
Earn the title, or
one of them. I just remember Batman like flies on in his like more machine built costume that he used in Kingdom Come. And I don't remember which book that was.
Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, Catwoman wasn't bad.
Yeah, I liked Catwoman. I don't remember who she went up against either.
That was Kingdom Come Batman.
Was it? Yeah. That's the one.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It was good.
I'm not a fan of the purple costume though.
But it fits for the time.
No, I know it fits for the time, but it,
I didn't really like the cover of it because it didn't, like, her hair was really weird in it.
The cover didn't match what was inside.
And it wasn't really purple, but the reason for it was because they had to shade it down because it was dark.
I didn't like Suicide Squad that much. I feel like nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing really happened, I guess, except for something happens, I guess, to Amanda Waller, but we don't know until the next.
Yeah, it was like the whole issue was set up for what's going to happen in the next issue, but there's only two parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it squandered that issue.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, thank you for your comment, the Star Wars Star Trek comment on that, the Amanda Waller picture. Jerk.
Fill us in.
There's a picture of Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad that looks very much like an alien character. I don't know what.
It's Nine Numb.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
From Star Wars.
Yeah, Lando's co-pilot. And
that actor just died recently.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, way to bring it down.
It was a funny joke until now.
Anyway.
Disrespecting the dead. Right,
so what's next?
No, but he said it was from Star Wars.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, and I said, which one was that, original series or Next Generation? just to poke Josh. I poke him on that.
So that's Star Trek, Star Wars.
Just to make him mad. So he'll take the pole again.
He'll take to the pole again.
Whatever you say, Mr. Reach Around.
So sad to see.
At
least he gets paid.
Justice League International.
At least he gets paid.
That was
good.
That was Metallo. Was
who? Yeah. Now that's where you were confused.
Yeah, this is this. I think I read this issue first, and this is where I really had my problem, because in the first week of books, you had Arsenal, who specifically said he couldn't use his
metal,
his bionic arm, because whenever the dome went up, all abilities were gone, including the bionic arm.
Yeah.
But yet in this week, like, we had Cyborg, and actually Cyborg was in the first week, who was functioning fine. You had Metallo that was functioning fine.
Yeah.
You had Blue Beetle's equipment that was functioning fine. And even specifically said that when the dome went up, superpowers went away, but technology prevailed. So what happened to his arm in the first week?
Here's something I just I'm just thinking of, that maybe, and I'm really reaching here. They focus on Star Labs here, and Star Labs is trying to help them survive through technology.
Yeah.
So maybe Star Labs found a way around it, where pre-52 Earth.
I think Aquaman and Star Labs talks.
Trying
about
to make another point here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it is. They made a huge point about that in the Arsenal book.
Yeah,
and then
because it was a big moment.
Geez,
him going in.
Cyborg? Does Cyborg just die when the dome goes up?
The living creature just laying there on the ground.
Yeah, Metallo though, and he's all right. I don't know where you got Kryptonite somewhere. But
that was good.
It was good. Yeah,
I liked seeing that team without the powers.
I like
still
this stuff with Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
I think that all the books have done a good job.
Red Tornado.
Yeah, Red Tornado. He's working fine. I like how mostly all of these books have done what I think they were trying to do, and that's make them feel like they were written at that time of when they were written.
Almost like lost stories from from the era. Yeah.
Was it Retroactive that came out a couple of
years ago? Yeah, Retroactive.
So where they had like from the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is. They're kind of going back
I haven't read Convergence, but just listening to you three, all I can think of is confusion.
it's confusing as long as you'd have to understand the structure, which I think, being that we've talked about it so much, we kind of have an idea of what it is. But it's basically like
a bunch of cities from different universes
before the universe is going to go away.
Yeah. In separate domes, Telos, who is the living planet, decides, I'm going to pit them against one another.
Oh, Battleworld.
Yes.
That's what I was just thinking.
It's kind of, they both have an event going on at the same time where there's no pizzas in this one, though.
No, smashing of pizzas.
No pizzas.
Just closing of domes.
That's
it's a hungrier Battleworld.
We're the hippos.
But each week, though, it goes back and, like, it starts with pre-Flashpoint.
Oh, I'm glad you told me that, because I'm going to start reading it, and at least I have a paradigm to work in.
Pre-Flashpoint?
One of them is, like, the first week. Pre-Flashpoint's first week. Then it's 0 hour, before 0 hour, then it's before Infinite Crisis. Crisis on Infinite Earth. Yeah. And then it's Multiverse.
Making it hard for people to jump on.
Or Elseworlds.
Well, no, it isn't. For the regular
each week
people.
Is just completely, they're independent of one another.
Yeah.
Right, but if you don't know pre-0 hour history, it's not going to make sense.
Not really, because they give you the little recap in the.
Yeah, they
give you
a recap.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm only, like, within the past 3 years, like, reading comics. So a lot of this stuff, I don't have no clue about the old continuity.
Yeah.
And it's been fine. Like, I've still been enjoying.
You pick it up as you go. The same way we did. The same way we had to figure.
And they've done a good job of doing, like, in the back of the books, giving you a recap of that character and what's going on. So.
We didn't have the web to go look
it up.
No, trades to go buy.
What, Spider-Man 137, I think, was my first. And it's like, what?
And then you got 142 next.
Yeah.
And you had to kind of figure out what?
Yeah, chase a dinosaur. Giving my own story over here.
I think Aquaman's the last one.
And that's what happened.
Because you're playing Dodge Rock.
Dodge Rock,
back to video games?
Aquaman. Aquaman, I liked Aquaman. I didn't like the art on the cover very much.
Aquaman had the worst cover.
Really,
I think some of these Wildstorm characters are going to be a little more confusing for other people.
Yeah,
the Insider book wasn't bad.
Who Deathblow was. It does make sense now why Colin got a Deathblow book when he got those books in on the shelf. But his whole story was interesting, that he's kind of stuck there. There's not an ocean. He can't really...
He's using tap water.
He's kind of losing it. Yeah,
he was swimming around in a tank in the aquarium.
In the aquarium. Yeah. He took it over. They didn't like that. You know, it was good. And now he has to go up against Deathblow.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind the story. I thought
the story
wasn't
bad, but the cover is awful.
The cover was really bad. So...
You're trouble. You might not be invited back. Causing problems.
That's fine.
He's like, that's
fine. Unless Sean Wheatley's here, I'm not coming back.
Pressure.
I'll bring the Deathblow.
Okay.
Sounds like a bad joke.
It's cut like baby powder.
It sounds like a bad joke, right?
Yep.
As well as you read, Adam.
I don't know. We're still on path.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you got. You said Aquaman.
I thought this was a collective.
Yeah. Sorry.
It is kind of.
Letter 44. Okay, so. Oh, you stopped?
Twitter.
Yeah. So
a while ago.
On Earth, World War III is basically going on, and the crew is now living. They're off the chandelier, and they're in whatever the aliens' ship is. And the aliens have been fixing their ship, except for the communication system, so they didn't know what was going on back on Earth, and. In this issue, they find out what's going on back on Earth. You may not have been reading it, but the one woman was pregnant. She had the kid, and the kid had problems. The aliens were able to save the baby, but kind of in return for that, they get to play with them for a half hour every day or something like that. So, at the end of the issue,
I was actually surprised. I looked over expecting something, but... Nothing. Crickets.
At the end, the mother and one of the other people from the ship were talking about it. The mom is afraid that the aliens aren't going to give the baby back. And she had made a comment, you know,
what are they doing, and the baby talks. And it's like, you know, a 3-month-old, or I guess a 6-month-old baby, and says, oh, well, I can tell you that, Mom. That's easy. And they're all shocked because, you know, it's a 6-month-old baby talking in full sentences.
Why is that shocking?
I don't know. Not everybody's
Valeria did it. Right? There you go.
Pretty much.
And the other one I read was Shaft.
You're not going to win.
He's a complicated man. Next.
I love that synopsis. Perfect. Do you have another issue? I need to buy that.
He's complicated.
He has...
Matt, what did you read?
I don't even remember. Old stuff. I mean, I'm like months behind on... I'm trying to think if I read anything new. I read the new S.H.I.E.L.D. That was bad.
I read the first one, went, yeah, I don't think I need to read any more of this. Especially when I saw the cover of number 2 with Ms. Marvel.
Right. I got to number 2, yeah, and I was like, why did I buy that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember.
I'll go easy and quick, so, for me.
Man, Iceman must love you.
No fuss, no muss. I think I already said I read Harley Quinn and Spider-Man, but
right.
Outside of that, Multiversity, and I was telling you earlier, it's the first Grant Morrison book that I've read that I didn't need a primer, a website, a blog to tell me what was happening and what the subtext was.
Yep.
So I don't know if I've gotten to a place where I understand it now, or if he's actually putting books together that are a little more accessible, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or a little combination of both.
He's cutting back on the drugs in his old age.
But I like the crazy, like, to me, that was like Crisis on Infinite Earth on acid, you know?
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Well, it's not Final Crisis on acid.
This whole parallel universes, parallel worlds, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's in the ether. I just saw, didn't you guys see Interstellar? Yeah. So that's all, I'm not going to recap the movie, but that's a pretty big piece in that movie,
so
right?
So what's that about?
parallel universes or parallel dimensions.
That is really out there right now.
So it's, I mean, I'm saying it's really, I don't know.
If you went out there, Morrison, read Nameless.
I'm also reading that. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in that.
I read the first one. I thought, there's no way I can follow this.
Two was good.
Waiting for the trade.
Yeah.
Two was good. I haven't read 3.
But I don't know. I felt like Multiversity was finally putting in to comic book form some of the stuff that was in that DVD Talking with Gods, so where he talked about being able to move, you know, forwards and backwards in time in a comic book, and
I want to read Invisibles, but I'm a little scared after watching that.
Well, that's why I felt like, you know what, Multiversity, maybe that's my Morrison book, you know?
It's been good. It wraps up next week.
So, so that's what I got, other than I am so flattered that you guys came back. You guys came back to do the podcast tonight. I feel so touched, but I know that'll just... I know that'll just go sideways.
Did you order that men's feelings for him next week?
No.
You meant to say, you like me. You really like me.
It's just nice to come back to a place that I haven't been at in a number of years and still feel welcome. And I think part of that is people that are here and some of the technology. So
you brought us money too. So.
Yeah. I made it ring.
It helped.
I just came back and drove me money.
Well, that too.
$1 million bill. Thank you.
No, I mean, I'm not. I think Facebook and things like that actually help with some of this stuff. So, like I said, it felt almost as if no time had passed, other than you've changed the store around.
Yeah.
And,
well.
You look a lot older, but other than that,
man. Don't be ashamed. I mean, you're in your 50s now.
Yeah.
Now, did you just turn 50?
Yeah.
No, I had a secret shopper.
It was about 10 years ago.
They give it, you know, give a description of the person that helped you, and it was
gray chest hair.
It was no, but it was 50. I forget. Was it late 50s?
Late 50s.
Yeah. And I'm just like, that hurt.
I bet Sandy had a field day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she enjoyed that very much.
Right, so, once again, thank you. This was so much fun.
Well, good.
Hopefully it's fun for people to listen to.
Yeah, no, I think it will be.
And I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but there's probably a high likelihood that this will be repeating itself.
Again. Good. We just have to, yeah, we had to change our setup here. So, but that's okay.
It's all right.
So, I added a new wrap up. Right. Give highlights of next week.
What was your old wrap up?
Nothing.
Bye.
Bye. It was a lot of time.
But I was listening to another podcast, and they did this, and I'm like, you know, that's a really good idea, you know, just to give a little teaser of what's coming next week. So we have the end of Avengers forever. That's what it says, end of an era variant. We have Batman, the end of Endgame. We have the next wave of Batman Arkham Knight figures that people have been waiting for.
Yeah.
We've got Batman, Harley Quinn, and Scarecrow. Convergence number 4. I know, shocking, on a weekly book. But the Convergence books next week are Action Comics, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Crime Syndicate, Detective Comics, Infinity Inc., Justice Society of America, Plastic Man and Freedom Fighters, Shazam, and World's Finest Comics. Nothing on that page.
There's multiversity.
There's stuff on the page you just don't care about.
Well, no. Oh, my free comic book day damage replacements. That's very exciting. Fantastic Four, but I don't know if that's the last one or not. But there is a Fantastic Four issue
coming.
4, 3, 2,
where are we?
I don't know. It's 6:45. I don't know if that's the last one or not.
Is it how much? I think it's like $6.
Oh, it is. Okay, it is $5.99. So maybe that is the last issue. There you go. Thanks, Dave.
One last.
G.I. Joe. He-Man and the Eternity War. I know Pat's excited. Yeah, Hellbreak number 2 is next week.
What's that?
Hellbreak? That was that dollar book from
Owner.
Really that was pretty good. So this would be interesting. Gem and the Holograms number 2, just for Pat. Justice League 40, which will be the prelude to the Darkseid War. And there is Darkseid War stuff in the free comic book day book. Multiversity 2, just for Sean. New Avengers, last issue ever. And New Avengers Ultron Forever.
First issue ever.
First issue. One-shot issue forever. Next issue of Outcast, so that's a little quicker than the last one. Pisces is a new Image one. Princess Leia number 3. Puppet Master number 2. Plenty of copies of number 1 available if you're so inclined. Red One number 2. That was the Dodson
one
really about
good.
The 70s
the
Russian
spy.
That was good. Silk number 3. Superman number 40. And that's it. Wolverines. Oh, that's a weekly. So, of course, that's coming up.
Not necessarily.
That's true. It did miss a week. So, that's all we got. Don't forget, Free Comic Book Day is in 10 days. So, I'm trying to get ready for that. And that's about it.
All right. Thank you.
That's a podcast.
And we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For
the rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches, the wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks, I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch a chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo, please. Shots to your chest, you're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm Wild when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes.